In Proverbs chapter 4, this evening, reading from verse 23 through verse 27, we'll finish up this chapter. And we're going to title this, Keep Thy Heart, as the first three words of verse 23. Last week, we were in verse 20 through 22, titled that, Life and Health. And of course, we're going to focus in this evening on protecting the heart. Verse 23, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, we thank Thee tonight again for Thy blessings and Thy privilege to be able to come together. And Lord, we pray tonight that You would again speak to our hearts. Help us to understand the text that we're reading this evening that we might be obedient to it. And we ask all of these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Well, again, last week we're in verse 20 through 20 through 22, and we see here that in these verses, Solomon's speaking, and we believe to his son, and a father who is wrapped up in the spiritual life of his children. Many today are wrapped up in the financial life of their children, worrying about that more than they do their spiritual life. Well, notice as we come here, I want to spend most of our time in verse 23, and then we'll come back to this text and finish up in the verses 24 through 27. We'll continuously be covering these things. Just 2 weeks ago, we were in verse 14 through 18, speaking of the path of the wicked and the path of the just. Now, when we come here, we find that the word heart is used about 80 times in the book of Proverbs. And in the entire Bible, the word heart is used 830 times, and mostly it's used in a spiritual sense. Again, I refer to the article we wrote a number of years ago in 2006 on the heart. And there's only three times that it actually speaks of the physical heart or organ that pumps blood. Most of the time, it speaks of the heart of man. It is used in a spiritual sense and not referring to the physical heart. It is used as a metaphor to represent the inner man. One of the two verses I put on the front of this article is chapter 4, 23. And then in chapter 23, verse 7, it says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And again, I debated about whether going through these, but we've already covered some. In chapter 2 and verse 2 and verse 10, we've already looked at that in speaking of the heart. And of course, one of the major passages is in chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And so, again, nearly 80 times we find the word heart used in this book, and we'll keep coming to it over and over. Well, notice as we come back here to verse 23, and we're just going to focus in on this for just a little while. This verse is sandwiched between what we've been studying in godly wisdom and our outward conduct. Verse 20 through 22, the wisdom of a father to the son that brings life and health. And then verses 24 through 27 is dealing with our conduct. And we'll look at that again a little bit later, but it's dealing with our mouth and our eyes and our feet, which has to do with our Christian life and how we're to conduct that. Now, verse 23, we basically have three thoughts in this passage. The first one, it tells us what we must do. And that is to keep our hearts. He says, keep thy heart, telling us what to do. This is a command given to us. And the second thing that we find here is that it tells us how that we're to do it. In other words, it tells us how that we are to do this, and that is with all diligence. In other words, we're to have diligence in this. And the third thing that we see here is he tells us why that we're to do this. And he says, for out of it are the issues of life. So this verse can actually be divided in this way. Now again, what are we talking about when we speak of the heart? Well, it has to do with the will, the emotions, the mind. Again, this article, we put several different scriptures in it, and we talked about the definition of the heart, the depravity of the heart, and then the decisions of the heart. And so when we come to this subject, when we talk about the heart, it is the inner man, the whole person. It is the real you, the innermost part of our being. That's how the word heart is used. The heart is the center of a thing. And so it is the seat of personality. The heart has to do with our thinking, our emotions, and our will. It is the very essence of man. It makes us who that we are. And so we're giving a commandment here that we are to keep our heart with all diligence. We are to guard it. And again, the heart is what separates us, by the way, from animals. The Bible can speak of the heart of an animal, physically speaking, the organ that pumps blood. But it does not speak of an animal as having a heart as man. And I'll give you just a few verses. You don't have to turn to them. But in 1 Peter 3:4, this is describing what the heart is. That's where it talks about the hidden man of the heart. And then in Ephesians, I'm making sure I give these to you correctly. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 16 and verse 17, we find here he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, notice, in the inner man. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the heart. And another passage that I think clearly brings this out is the 2 Corinthians 4, and in verse 16, said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that's our body, yet the inward man, again speaking of the heart, the soul, is renewed day by day. And one other passage is in Romans 7 and in verse 22. So it has to do with the very essence of man, the seat of personality. It has to do with our thinking, our emotions, our will, things of that nature. Now let's look at these three components briefly, and then we'll look at some other passages on this. And by the way, I've given you these before. I'm going to do it quickly. You've got them written down somewhere before, so don't even try. And I won't even give the verses. I'm just going to show you the different types of hearts that we find in the Scripture. And this is not all. I think the last time I preached on the heart, we've got several messages, by the way, on the heart. You know, having hearts for God, we've got several messages. And we've got one whole message on a pure heart in Matthew 5 and verse 8. But here's some of the different types of hearts, whether it be good or bad. The Bible speaks of a perfect heart, a hard heart, a divided heart, a broken heart, a new heart, a stony heart, a purposed heart, a pure heart. Then it speaks of singleness of heart, uncircumcised heart, idols in the heart, wicked heart, forward heart, hypocritical heart, proud heart, tender heart, and a backsliding heart. So God has a lot to say about the subject of the heart. Now notice here, first of all, in these three components I mentioned a moment ago, about telling us what to do and how to do it and why to do it, he first of all says, keep thy heart. In other words, he's telling us what we must do. What does this mean? It's very simple. It means to guard or protect the heart against what goes in or what comes out. And we know that what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart of the individual. So we are to post a guard around our hearts, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. Our physical heart is protected to some extent in our body, and so our spiritual heart is to be protected as well. And notice the second thing, he says, with all diligence. Here we see how we must do this. And this has the ideal, with all diligence, meaning above all other things that has to be guarded, we're to be vigilant and to go above and beyond. In other words, think about all the things that we guard and protect. Our families, our homes, our automobiles. Many people's got safes in their homes. Why? They got a locked door. We lock our doors. We protect things that we have. And what he's saying in this passage, he's saying, and with all diligence, we're to protect, spiritually speaking, our heart. In other words, more we're to do this above guarding anything else. Someone with animals, they'd guard their livestock, and we would protect that. This is to surpass all other things that we guard our hearts. And notice now that he says here in this passage, he tells us why we must do this. Again, we have the what, the how, and why. And he says, for out of it are the issues of life. Think about this. This means that it is the reservoir from which all things come from relating to life. In other words, it's all going to come from here. And any problem that we have, any crisis, wars, everything, our relationships and whatever, comes from the heart. And this is where our behaviors flow from, is what is in us. And this is why this is to take top priority. Now let's turn away from here. We'll come back to it a little bit later. And let's notice just a few other passages. And most of these will be familiar to you. Matthew chapter 15. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 15, and a parallel passage is Mark 7, verse 20 through 23. In Matthew chapter 15, well, first of all, we're going to read from verse 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. He says here in this text, he said, this people, and he's referring to the children of Israel at this time, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So he mentions the heart here in reference that is not being right with God. Now come down with me, please, in the same chapter from verse 18 through 21. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now this is why that we're to guard it. Put a garrison around our heart. He said, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. We'll just stop reading there. We see here, for out of the heart proceedeth all things, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Back up a couple of chapters in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, we find here, I'm just going to read just a few verses, verse 33 through verse 35. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And we know this to be so. What a man speaketh, what someone talks about, is the things that are down in their heart. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 17, some of you may be able to quote the text here, but in Jeremiah chapter 17, I'll pick a reading up in verses 9 and 10. So I'm reading verses right now to show why it is important for us to guard our hearts, to keep our hearts. We come here to chapter 17. And again, I'll make mention to you Matthew 5, verses 8. And then in verses 21 through 28, one of the Beatitudes is to be pure in heart. And then he speaks of the heart in other contexts. In verse 9, the heart is deceitful. That's its natural state. And Jesus, in John 2:25, if you read that, sometimes you'll find that he makes mention of... make sure I give you that right text. I have stuff come to me while we're studying this. But in this text, he did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So the natural state of man is that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searches the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You would see this again if you'll just jot down chapter 9, verse 26 in the book of Jeremiah. Now, I'm turning to the book of Genesis. Notice with me as we come to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to go to the first time that the word heart is used in the Bible. Notice in Genesis chapter 6. Begin reading in verse 5. Verses 5 through about verse 7 or 8. It says here, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Come down to verse 11. "There the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." This is the chapter, of course, of Noah began to build the ark, and then the invitation in chapter 7 and verse 1 was given to him and his family to come in. But this first time that we see the word heart in the Bible is in verse 5, and he makes a statement about the natural state of man. He says, "And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Chapter 8 and verse 21. Chapter 8 and verse 21. So again, I wanted to go through some of these because this is showing us why that we must make it top priority in our lives to protect our heart. Chapter 8 and verse 21. He says, and this is after the flood and after Noah has been able to step off on dry ground and build an altar in verse 20. Now verse 21, he says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." This is from Noah's sacrifice. "And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done." So again, we see the condition of the natural man. We all were there at one time before we were converted. Coming back to this time to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, and notice here, I want to begin reading in verse 3, Matthew chapter 19. We find here, beginning in verse 3, "And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying to him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. But there, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing and divorcement to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered, that is, allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. He goes on to say in verse 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." The Pharisees were trying to test the Lord Jesus here. And you can see what they were saying, that Moses commanded this. And the Lord says in verse 8, and this the verse that came to this passage for, that he said unto them that Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And so all through the Scriptures, we find the issue of a hard heart. When we read through the book of Exodus, that also is mentioned in Romans chapter 9, we find that Pharaoh, a number of times, the Bible says that he hardened his heart. The Bible also says that God hardened his heart. And so as he hardened his own heart and rejected the Word of God, God hardened his heart because of that rejection. And so it's important, again, that our hearts do not get hard. It's important that we realize that we are to guard it and protect it. And again, we protect a lot of things in our life. I mean, you think about the things that we try to protect, many, many things. And still yet, many people never think about the importance of their spiritual life. Well, in Matthew 13, we see here, in Matthew chapter 13, the disciples had come to the Lord and that asked Him, why is He speaking to them in parables? We have the mystery parables in this chapter. And I want you to notice, as we come down to verse 15 and 16, here's what He tells them. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." And that is, there's a thick layer of fat covering the heart. And He says here, "And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So we find here in this passage that they have done this to themselves. So like hardening their hearts, here they have a layer of fat around their hearts. In other words, we find that they have rejected the truth of God's Word. But notice now, as we go back to Ezekiel, we're going to chapter 11. When we talk about the heart, I'd like to make mention of this because this is the way that we began protecting our hearts. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 11, some other verses, the Bible in Ephesians 4:18 speaks of the blindness of heart. Proverbs 22:15 speaks of the foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child. Notice as we come to the book of Ezekiel. So where does the hardness of the heart begin? It starts with the decision to not believe what God has said. Once we begin with unbelief and rejecting what God has said, the hardness begins to set in. Well, notice in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 through 21, he says here, "And I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh." And he says that they, and here's the reason, now he's going to give them a heart that is pliable and not hardened. And he says in verse 20, "that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I'll be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God." And of course, you know this here is referring to the new birth. And the scriptures on that is in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 through 27, and also Ezekiel 18, verse 31, and Jeremiah chapter 31. Even in Psalms 51:12, David said, "Create in me a clean heart." Psalms 51, verse 17 says, "The sacrifice of God is a contrite heart." That is a broken and tender heart before God. Hebrews 10:22 speaks of the heart being cleansed through the blood of the new covenant. Well, notice with me as we turn back now to the book of Proverbs, and let's look at these, a few of these other words. Coming back now, and I want to give you just a few more verses to put down in your notes. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify the Lord in your hearts." In other words, the heart is to become a little sanctuary or a chapel. Sanctify. That is to make Him at home in our hearts, make the Lord comfortable in our hearts, to allow nothing to crowd Him from His throne in our hearts. That's what that passage means. To have no rivals or competition in our hearts with the Lord. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us that the Lord looketh upon the heart. And that's one of the reasons that David was chosen to be the king. In Matthew 22:37, we're to love the Lord with all of our heart. With all of our heart. Psalms 39, verse 23 and 24, we sing this on Sunday morning. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." That was David's prayer. Again, in Matthew 5:8, "to be pure in heart," that is to be free from corruption and defilement, to be clean and to be without mixture of any kind. Now, come back to this passage. Now, verse 24 through 27, and we're just going to do this briefly. These verses show what it looks like to keep our hearts guarded. He mentions here in this passage the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. Now, again, on the other side of this, verse 20 through 22, we have instructions, wisdom. And then we see the conduct. In verse 20 through 22, we see what is to be put in our hearts. And then in verse 24 through 27, we see what will come out of our hearts if godly wisdom has been put in. Well, first of all, verse 24, he said, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee." We find here that the word froward, we've run into this already two or three times, means perverse. And we know that the tongue is the accurate index of our spiritual life as well as the indicator of our physical life. Chapter 18, verse 21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We find also in James 1, verse 19, in verse 26, and all of chapter 3 speaks of the tongue. Ephesians 4, verse 21 through 31 also speaks of the tongue. Notice the next thing he says in verse 25. He said, "Let thine eyes look right on, let thy eyelids look straight before thee." First of all, he speaks of our mouth, which speaks from the heart. Now he's saying in verse 25 that our eyes, Jesus speaks of the eyes in Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23, being singleness of eye. Mentioned again in Matthew 8 and verse 9. We're told in Job 31 and verse 2 that we're to make a covenant with our eyes. And in Psalms 103, verse 3, to set no wicked thing before our eyes. And in Revelation 3:18, we're to anoint our eyes with eye salve. In other words, again, we're talking in spiritual terms here as well. So verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee." Now verse 26 and 27, he speaks of our feet. He says in verse 26 and 27, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." The feet speak of one's walk and the path one takes in this life. Again, verse 14, we have this, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Then in verse 18, "But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So we're going to close here tonight, and we'll pick up in chapter 5. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we do come before Thee tonight. We thank You for Your love and mercy to us. We thank You, Lord, for Thy Word. And Lord, we thank You for the text that we've looked at this evening. I pray that each of us will meditate upon this week and see the importance of keeping our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Lord, You've given us these things to protect us so that we can be happy, so we can have life and we can have health. Lord, we pray tonight that we'll be obedient to Your Word, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray.